Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. Sort of reminds me today that headline in The Onion the day after Election Day, Adora, remember it? It was worst job in the world given to a black man.
Right.
As we've noted many times on this program, the new president, Barack Obama, faces a massive workload as the serious problems in the economy and in foreign affairs come directly to his desk. He faces some very harrowing deadlines in the early going, which will mean he has to deal with Congress and world leaders at a very, very rapid pace. And for a look at the challenges and the schedule of those challenges the Obama administration needs to tackle as of this moment, we're joined by the New York Times' David Sanger. He's chief Washington correspondent for the Times. And his new book, The Inheritance, The World Obama Confronts and the Challenges to American Power, is basically the question we're asking all of you today. What do you think Barack Obama should be putting at the top of his list? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. David Sanger, thanks for joining us.
Good to be back with you, John.
We've said continually since Election Day that, boy, this day was going to be some serious sort of first day at work. But what are the kind of calendar dates in the early going that Barack Obama really needs to look carefully at on the economy and in foreign affairs as you see it?
Well, you know, the thing about being president is rarely do things go the way the calendar would put it together. But let's look at a couple. The economic issues are run to some degree by the calendar. For example, the auto bailout that started with the end of the Bush administration, by the mid to end of March, the Detroit automakers have to come through with a plan for viability that passes the laugh test, because if they don't, they can't get the next tranche of money or negotiate out what that would be. And then you're into an unemployment situation that is significantly worse than anything we see today. On the case of Congress, they approved in the last days of the Bush administration all of the rest of the $750 billion. That's the good news. The bad news is that the Obamaites, as they were coming in, conceded that the first half of that was spent in a way that it didn't actually increase lending coming down to ordinary homeowners. So before they spend it, they've got to fix how they're spending it. And that process starts today. He's also meeting the Joint Chiefs today, and most of the inheritance is basically on the foreign policy challenges.
Before we go to the foreign policy for just one moment, on this issue of the spending of the stimulus package so that it helps homeowners, do they have to rewrite laws that were passed last year? Is this going to be new hearings, new Barney Frank negotiations, all of that?
Fortunately not, because for better or worse, the legislation was so porous in his writing, in the writing of it, that you'll remember that it was used initially for banks and then partly for those automakers and then, you know, for a number of other causes as well. So my guess is that they've got a fair bit of latitude about how to go spend it, although there are Republicans in Congress who are arguing that beyond the auto industry and the banking industry, it should not be used for industry-specific bailouts.
And David, in terms of the bailout money, isn't it troubling that Barack Obama does not have a Treasury Secretary right now, and Tim Geithner, his nominee, is going into hearings today with a slight cloud over him?
It doesn't help, but frankly, both Tim Geithner and Larry Summers, the director of the National Economic Council, have been working to put together the strategy. And, you know, nobody can predict how hearings will go, but it strikes me that the problem that Geithner's run into, which was taxes that were unpaid because of a strange complication of what happens when you work for the International Monetary Fund, which Mr. Geithner did, they have been resolved. He paid the money before he got nominated, although not by much. And my suspicion is he'll give him a hard time and he'll pass.
Right. Well, the question is how many lawmakers are going to want to take a stand on this, or maybe wait till down the line. There'll be plenty of opportunities to take a stand on the foreign policy front. We've got Israel saying today that its military pullout from Gaza is complete, yet that situation is hardly resolved. What are the issues facing the president regarding stepping back into the Middle East?
Well, as I point out in the inheritance, the good news for President Obama is that the Gaza problem is the easy one. Doesn't that make you feel good already?
Yeah.
We revealed in the Times a week and a half ago that he is inheriting, along with President Bush's various policies, a number of covert actions, particularly about Iran, where the U.S. has started a new effort to try to undercut the Iranian nuclear program, and in Pakistan, where the president authorized last summer new ground incursions that would enable the U.S. to go over the border into sovereign Pakistani territory, an ally, remind you, to go after not only al-Qaeda but other insurgents.
Well, let me stop you there. Let me stop you there for one thing. I mean, on the one hand, Iran looks like it might be a reckless move, at least looking at Obama's rhetoric on Iran. He seems to be inclined to talk to Iran. But on the Pakistan side, it seems like something that would be very much something he would support, since he suggested he would cross the border to go after Osama bin Laden if he was in Pakistan.
I think you've got it exactly right, but they complicate his diplomacy in two ways. In the Iran case, it's a little bit difficult to say, I'm going to sit down and engage you for the first time without making it clear whether or not he will also proceed to undercut the nuclear program, although President Bush would argue that the covert action gives some steel to whatever conversations take place. In the Pakistani case, it's very difficult to go get the Pakistanis to go off and actually fight the war we want them to fight against the Taliban and the insurgents instead of the one we don't want them to fight against India, if they believe that we are deliberately violating what they view as their national sovereignty. So he's got some big calls to make that are a lot more complex than the way they were debated during the campaign.
All right,
those are just those two.
All right, but let's take those two for one second before we move on, and that is there something that simplifies these by virtue of the fact that Barack Obama is a figure, a world figure suddenly, and who knows how long it will last, way beyond the stature of really an American president since Ronald Reagan, in terms of being able to go over and say, all right, let's roll up our sleeves and do this fundamentally differently. He does have a moment here, and it might simplify some of the complexity that's bedeviled us for the last 8 years.
The good news is he does have a moment because there's a honeymoon period not only at home but abroad. However, with your and that particularly will work with our allies, particularly our European allies, who, as the British wrote in several articles that appeared in the past week, were looking to see the back of George Bush as he got onto that helicopter. With your enemies, however, or those who are potential enemies, they are going to try to test him because they view him as inexperienced. And they want to see just how much room they have. And you already saw the North Koreans doing this last week when they announced to a visiting American, somebody who's frequently there, a scholar named Sig Harrison, that they had already taken the nuclear fuel that they harvested during the first weeks of the Iraq War, actually, while George Bush was looking elsewhere, and weaponized them. That is, turned them into what they said were probably six weapons. Six or seven weapons. So there are moments you're going to see in the next few months where this new president will be tested, whether the first big test is over the Gaza, over Iran, over North Korea, or over an incursion into the Pakistani territories. I can't tell you, but I can tell you this. Each one of them is going to take a shot and see how he reacts.
Interesting. Well, let's talk about rollbacks then. Guantanamo, one of the first acts of Barack Obama was to announce that he wants to essentially roll back the Guantanamo Bay policy of detentions and this kind of netherworld of judicial policy regarding enemy combatants. Any other rollbacks you see in Iraq or elsewhere?
You'll see it on interrogation as well. On interrogation policy. But in the case of Guantanamo, I think what we'll see in the next week is the decision, the written document on closing it down, but actually doing it is likely to take a year or more, just as they try to find homes for those 240 or 250 current inmates, some of whom are pretty hardened. On interrogation, you can turn that around right away, but you almost saw in those last moments where President Bush was saying, "I kept you safe," that the subtext was, "I'm just waiting for the first thing that goes wrong where we can sort of step in and say the old way worked."
All part of The Inheritance. The author of The Inheritance, The World Obama Confronts and the Challenges to American Power, is Chief Washington Correspondent for The New York Times, David Sanger. David, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John.